Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
It is declared often in Scripture that there is a victory in Christ Jesus which belongs to His people, which has been given to His people, that we are overcomers, that we are more than conquerors. And this truth is something that can be a bit of a watermark for us. Because very often we will describe our own life not in terms of victory and overcoming, but in terms of struggle and challenge. In our scriptures, we have this idea that the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in us now. And I know that many would respond, if they really gave it some thought, they might say, I'm not sure that I've ever experienced resurrection power in my life. Does that mean that the resurrection of power of God is not working in us? It's hard to say, isn't it? When you haven't had an experience of it, you can go by the promises of Scripture that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were made into a new creature. You were, in effect, Paul says, crucified with Christ. That is, your sinful nature was destroyed with Christ on the cross. And you're also raised as a new creation, just as Christ was raised from the grave. That seems a little bit abstract to us because in many cases, we don't understand the great change in our being. The transition from darkness to light, from death to life that occurred when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. It looked so simple. And this great gift of God really is simple for the believer. Trust the Lord. We don't do any works. We don't earn our salvation. We don't come to God because we can bring a resume or a CV that tells him that we're worth his effort. No, instead, to people who were opposed to him, to people who were in darkness, people who were lost in sin, he gives the free gift of salvation. That's an amazing thing, but it's become kind of commonplace, perhaps, for us. But here we are in a particularly difficult time for our lives as Canadians, and we know that this experience is being shared throughout the world, in some places with much more difficulty than we're experiencing. And we see that we have struggles dealing with the conditions that are imposed upon us in this time. The lockdown, from all reports, is causing people a great deal of anxiety. It's preventing people from taking care of their mental health and their social connections. And it means sometimes that other physical health issues are being ignored because there's not access to the services that would normally be available. It's a difficult time. It's a tough call on the part of our governing authorities and our health units. It's a challenge. I would like to note right off the bat that some people think that overcoming means challenging every authority and getting your way every time you want it. But that's not what God is calling us to in this time. We are being asked to submit to some regulations that are intended to help the public good and the health of everyone, and I believe we should submit to them fully. I believe that God calls his people to set an example of loving their neighbor by taking the kinds of care that are being recommended and required of us by those who are speaking and making decisions on this issue. I'm not someone to say that we should always and in every case submit to government. There are places for civil disobedience, but this is not one of them. And it is important that each of us make our voice heard. If we have concerns or ideas that we think would help, we should make them heard. But in a democracy, you don't always get your way. Your voice is part of the decision-making. It's not the tyrant who determines all things. So what does overcoming mean for the Christian in a time like this? Overcoming, in God's eyes, can sometimes mean being delivered from a situation. When Jesus came upon people who were dominated and pressed down by health issues, paralysis, blindness, deafness, leprosy, disease of all kinds, or even demonic oppression, Jesus would reach out and set them free from that. That was good news. That was very practical and powerful working of the Spirit of God in the lives of those people. But he told them there were other things that would be more of a struggle. He said to one person that he healed from an ailment, he said, "Now, be careful how you live, lest something worse happen to you." He wasn't saying that the disease was caused by sin, but he was saying that you now have a responsibility to live in a different way, to live for the kingdom of God, and to submit yourself to the rule of God. That's something that we take up as a challenge and an opportunity in our lives, not something that's just given as a victory already won. It's kind of nice for us to win, with God's help, to win some of our own victories, isn't it? It's not actually good for us to have everything handed to us on a silver platter. And so the struggles that we undergo build strength and character in us, and I would add, build for us an empathy towards others who are also undergoing hard times. It's important to God that our characters be filled with something stronger that can only come from a life of challenging opportunities to grow and be stronger. The person who never faces any challenges in life becomes very soft. And then, should anything bad happen, they find themselves deeply injured by the slightest problem. God wants to strengthen us, and he uses the difficulties that the world presents as an opportunity to make us stronger and to overcome. In the words that Bill read from Paul's letter, Paul described the position that he was in and that he believed that all believers were in, as he described a pairing of different contrasting ideas. I'm going to turn to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, "We are hard pressed on every side, Now, would that describe your situation to some degree? You might say that's even putting it more strongly than you're experiencing. You're pressed. You're having difficulties. Paul says about his situation, he's hard-pressed on every side, and yet he's not crushed. He counts it as a victory that God has enabled him to stand under the pressures that he has endured. He says, we're perplexed, but not in despair. Now, I think perplexed is a word that describes most of us at some points in our life. We can be perplexed about our spiritual journey, wondering why we're not making the progress we thought we would, wondering why God's answer to prayer isn't what we expected. We're allowed to be perplexed. God permits that to happen in our lives. But Paul reports that in his perplexity, he doesn't despair. He knows he doesn't need to despair because perplexity is not a terminal problem. Perplexity is just a condition for now. He speaks in his other letters to the Corinthians about how right now we know in part, but when we see Christ face to face, we'll know fully. We won't be perplexed anymore. So he keeps the hope of God's wisdom being revealed in the future to keep him from being filled with despair right now. And so he goes on with these pairings. He's struck down but not destroyed. He carries around in his body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in his body. He talks about a treasure of Christ's riches being poured into us, human beings, and he describes us as jars of clay. Now, jars of clay are not porcelain urns or Ming vases. Jars of clay are just common containers. And he says the reason that God pours these treasures into common containers is so that the treasure stands out in it. One of my friends, Carolyn Ahrens, has written a song called Fragile, which speaks about those clay jars being fractured, being broken, cracked, not falling apart, but being cracked. And because of that, the light within shines out through those cracks. I think that's what Paul means about carrying the death of Jesus in our bodies so that the life of Jesus can be revealed. With our weakness is paired the strength of Jesus. And so as we engage in life and find the challenges to be strong and beyond us, our survival depends on the light of Jesus within us. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. In this current situation, where loneliness and isolation, depression and anxiety are so common, so profound in our midst, how are we going to respond to it? Are we going to admit that we're lacking something of that resurrection power in our lives? We haven't experienced the fullness of what it is. We find ourselves on the edge of being crushed, of being in despair, of feeling abandoned. We feel ourselves on the edge of death. We feel ourselves at the limit of our endurance. And this is precisely the time where we have an opportunity to discover more about the love and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. It's precisely because we're in this spot that we have the chance to experiment with drawing nearer to God. You see, experiencing the presence of God is something that we're instructed in Scripture. And in that passage from from the Old Testament, when Jeremiah speaks to the people of Israel. He speaks to them about seeking God, but he tells them that God's plan for them, and this is not his plan for us, I don't want you to be worried about that. His plan for them was to be in the situation they were in for 70 years. It wasn't a good situation. They were torn away from their homes in Jerusalem and the surrounding area. They were torn away from the temple worship that they could experience whenever they wanted to when they were living at home. They were now in Babylon. Their leadership had been enslaved to the Babylonian bureaucracy. People like Daniel and the other noble sons of Israel would have been castrated before being put into the service of the king. This was not good times. And they were dwelling among a people who worshipped strange gods and had abysmal practices. And yet, Jeremiah, the prophet of God, tells them, don't expect this to be a short thing. Don't expect that you can just cross your arms and say, well, I'm just waiting until Jesus takes me back, or till God takes me back to Jerusalem. He said, buy houses, build houses, plant crops, give your sons and daughters in marriage. You're going to be there for a while. Make a life of it. And not only that, he says, seek the prosperity of this kingdom that has conquered you. It doesn't sound much like overcoming, does it? But in fact, if the people can live their lives away from all the things that were familiar, that is a victory. If the people can love their enemies, that is a victory. If they can contribute after all their strength and their position and their dignity has been taken away, if they can still contribute and be a blessing where they are, that is a victory. And not only that, Jeremiah tells them what God has in mind. That after they have been in this situation for a long, long time, they will finally be ready to turn to God and seek Him with all their heart. I'm sure that those people, as they sat in their new digs in Babylon, were praying profoundly and deeply, asking to be sent back to Jerusalem, asking to have their homes back, asking to have their lives back. But it would be 70 years before they came to the realization that what they really needed was to have their God back. They weren't seeking God, they were seeking the familiar. They were seeking what they had always enjoyed. They had been sent into exile because that's all they sought, was their well-being, their abundance, and their comfort. That's the sin of Israel that sent them into exile. But after they'd been in exile and they'd run through all the things they thought they needed and realized they could live without them, they would come to understand that the one thing they couldn't live without was God. Is that possibly a diagnosis of your life? I know it is of mine. That when things are going well, I seek the things I enjoy. But when things get difficult, that's when I start to seek the Lord. If you've been neglecting your faith or making it just a little hobby on the side, maybe the stresses and trials of this time are an opportunity for you to try seeking the Lord more fully and deeply. Maybe the well-worn instructions about turning to scriptures and turning to God in prayer have a chance to make a real difference in your life at this time. I know that I've seen this happening in our congregation. I've seen people taking the extra time they have that they're not spending wandering around shopping and spending it seeking the Lord. And I've seen that turn into a deep prayer life of just asking God's blessing on their neighbors, their friends, and their community. And I've seen how they're seeking God's will to be done on earth as in heaven. Now, that's not all a result of these hard times, but it can be for us a result of these hard times. It can be this experimental time. And I'm calling it experimental because you're going to find some things that don't work as you seek God. You're going to find some things that really don't bring peace. There's ways of praying that actually bring more anxiety when you start focusing on the problems instead of focusing on God. You'll discover that those things don't do anything for you. There are longings in our heart that just fill us with despair because they're longings for things that pass away. And sometimes things that can't be had again. But when the longing of our heart turns to God, we will find peace because He can always be with us. So make mistakes, but don't give up. Find yourself trying different things, trying things you tried before that didn't work then, but maybe they'll work now. Many people make the mistake of thinking that it's all going to be a bed of roses, it's all going to be a bowl of cherries. But God is calling you to a steadfast, enduring, and deep pursuit of Him. Not some flippant, oh, I'll try this and then go on to something else. But He's calling you to strength. He's calling you to endurance. He's calling you to persevere. So don't be discouraged. They say that Edison used 1,000 different things to try and make the filament of light bulb before he landed upon, I believe it's the tungsten filament that works. If for the sake of an electric bulb, Edison was willing to fail 1,000 times, how many times are you willing to try to draw nearer to your God, to lay yourself before Him in faith and trust, to discover the peace that passes understanding and the life that is eternal? You can overcome the challenges that are before you, because Christ is working with you. And though it may take all your strength, it's also including all of His strength as He works with you. And you will see the light of the day when Jesus Christ rises upon you. Let's be overcomers now in this trial and in every time. Let's trust the Lord and seek Him with all our hearts. Let's pray. Almighty God, Your name is to be praised. Your name is holy. Your name is love and patience. Your name is great. Lord, these light and momentary afflictions which we now undergo will one day be just part of our testimony about the things that You overcame in our lives. And greater things than this will come as we seek You and find You, and as we become the blessing that You've called us to be for the world around us, so that others may see this light as well. Lord, one day we will be aware of all that You have overcome in our lives. But now, Lord, speak to each of our hearts that we are even now more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.